You're listening to Boss Ladies and Babies. Are you ready to blab with me? Grab a front row seat as I adventure through motherhood, build my career, and not lose my shit. This podcast is a place for women to come together and relate through the highs and lows of business and motherhood, keep it real, and learn some new business tips and tricks while inspiring each other to do the dang thing. So close your eyes and take a deep breath, mama. You found us. It might not always be pretty, but you can count on one thing. We are in this hot mess together. Welcome back to Boss Ladies and Babies. Oh my goodness, we survived tax time. If you're like me, you got by, got your taxes done just in time. Maybe you filed an extension. I actually had someone slide into my DMs and tell me that where they live, you could file an extension to October, which actually sounds amazing. But I was able to get them done in time for where I'm at and get that off my plate. But I'm telling you, we've been talking about this all month with the finances and money mindset and all of that. Taxes are just one of those things that myself and probably you listening and so many people just get so stressed out by. Like when you hear of taxes, when you hear people talk about taxes, it's just like, ugh, I know I'm not alone here. At least I hope I'm not. And I actually have been working really hard to figure out how to make tax time way less stressful for myself, because every year when I get to April or, you know, looking at things in March or April and I get it all done and I'm like, oh my gosh, that was so hard. I'm going to do it better next year. And then next year comes and I hadn't changed anything, right? And so this year, I am on a huge mission to change the way that I do things and hopefully inspire you to do the same. I think it's so funny because we have inside of Boss Ladies and Babies headquarters, we have guest trainers come in every month, and we had a guest trainer come in who is actually speaking on this episode today. We had her come in and do a training on taxes, and a lot of people, when they saw the topic of the training, were kind of like, ugh, taxes, I'm good. But the way that our guest for today talks about taxes and tax planning and figuring out a way to make things easier for yourself in the long run, it's different than what you're used to. It's different from how you're used to hearing from tax professionals. And so I'm really, really excited for you to tune into this episode today. So before we kick it off, we're going to do our highs and lows and a quick mental health check-in, and then we will get going. So my high for the week is my husband and I actually went on a date, and it was the first date we've been on in a while. We went on a little date for Valentine's Day. We just went to the movies though. So it was like, you know, I was like, why are we even getting dressed and putting makeup on to go to the movies when we're just going to sit here in the silence? We watched Avatar 3 that time. And so it was like way too long in the movie theater, in my opinion. So that was a date, but I don't really count it as a date like I do this most recent one. We got all dressed up, super fancy, and we went out to dinner at this really nice Thai restaurant in Tacoma, Washington, and it's just beautiful in there. The decor is beautiful. If you're from the area, it's called Indochin, if you've ever heard of it. It is so pretty in there, and the lighting, it was like candlelit and dark. It was just so romantic and just, it was quiet. It was a Thursday night, and so it was really quiet. There were not a lot of people in there, and we were just able to like sit and talk and enjoy our food and be kid-free and uninterrupted for a couple hours, and it was just so nice. It was so nice. We haven't done anything like that, I think, since the baby's been born, so that was really awesome, and I'm really glad that we got to do that. So it was definitely the high. My low is actually happening as we speak. I'm about to go in there and soothe the baby again. He is majorly teething right now, and so naps are just non-existent. And last night, I was awake like 3 to 4 times throughout the night. He should be sleeping right now. In fact, he looked like he was about to completely settle, and I just looked at the monitor again, and he is up and standing in his crib, chewing on the crib railing. So as soon as I wrap this up, I'm going to be back in there soothing him again, hoping to salvage this nap. We've been working towards it for like 45 minutes. I don't do any kind of sleep training with him. It's just kind of like he cries, I go in there, and I don't know if that's the right way to do it. That's just how I've always done it. And when he's not teething, that works just fine. So it's really hard to see him in pain. And now here he is again. I'm looking at the monitor and he's laying down again. He's like trying to figure it out, but I can just tell it hurts so bad. So he's got a lot of teeth coming in at once. That is definitely my low. I feel for him. It is so hard watching him go through pain. And then also from like a little bit of a selfish mindset, I guess it's hard losing the time, you know, where you plan around he should be sleeping and just kind of like the schedule being thrown off track, right? Like obviously that happens as a mom and we have to make room for that in our schedules, but it's hard. It's hard to watch him struggle and it's hard to rearrange schedules when naps are missed. So that's my low for the week. With all of that being said, as far as my mental health check-in for this week, today as we speak, I'm hanging at about a 7. So not too shabby, not great, but not awful. I feel a little bit overwhelmed. I'm relieved that my taxes are done and all of that's taken care of, but just kind of overwhelmed with some of the changes coming in my business. So I'm just kind of hanging out at like a nice C average, not too high, not too low. And, you know, I'm fine with it. I'll take it. So let's get into today's episode. Our guest for this episode is a wife, mom to 4 little kids, and a multi-passionate entrepreneur. She is a CPA and certified tax coach, and her focus is on building wealth through tax planning to multi 6- and 7-figure female service providers. She loves to partner with you and link arms with her clients to catapult them to success. She's also the host of the Messy Wonderful podcast and blog, which focuses on motherhood, money, business, and travel. And she's passionate about educating female business owners as well as young children on all things tax, finance, and entrepreneurship. She is all about finding the balance to help you live the best life and be successful at what matters most. And I mentioned it at the beginning, but the way that she talks about taxes is not a way that's going to make your eyes glaze over. It is interesting. It is exciting. It is empowering. And her perspective on building your business as a female entrepreneur, as a female founder with children is so, so amazing. I mean, she has 4 kids and she has a booming business and just such great insight. So we're going to take a quick break. And then I am so, so excited to welcome to the show, Kimberly Tara. Spring has sprung, and our homes aren't the only places that need some tidying up this time of year. This is around the time of year where the excitement of our big New Year's resolution goals are starting to wear off, and some of our ideas may have some cobwebs hanging around that could use a little dusting. Clutter might be piling up here and there, and we might be feeling like we could use a little pep in our step and a little tweak to our systems to help pull us and our businesses out of the winter rut. Don't worry, I've got you. I created a free Spring Clean Your Business Challenge that will get your business from a digital disaster to so fresh and so clean in just 6 days. Even better, each task will only take you about an hour to complete. The challenge is self-paced and runs the entire month of April, so snag your spot at the link in the show notes and get ready to do some serious spring cleaning. Sometimes all we need is a little accountability and support, and this 6-day challenge was created centered around both of those things. Joining the challenge gets you into a private Facebook group with the other members of the challenge to share your wins, ask your questions, and make some new connections. At the end of the month, all attendees are invited to a Zoom party to meet face-to-face, celebrate our successes, and a chance for you to ask me all of your business questions, not just about spring cleaning, about business in general. So what are you waiting for? It's time to make your business sparkle. Join the free 6-day Spring Clean Your Business Challenge at the link here in the show notes. It's time for this week's Boss Lady Business Spotlight. Meet Glitter Me This and Things, formerly known as Crystal Romalo Designs. Glitter Me This and Things is run by Crystal Romalo and is here to help you with all of your customized and handmade items from tumblers to clothing, home decor, and so much more. You've definitely seen her work here around Boss Ladies and Babies as she's partnered with us to create all of our swag. Crystal is always here to bring your custom items to life. She loves creating that one-on-one personalized experience to let you feel involved with the creation process if that's your jam. Otherwise, guys, give her your ideas and let her run with it. Check out Glitter Me This and Things and use code THANKYOU10 for 10% off any item.
Hello, Kimberly, and welcome to the Boss Ladies and Babies podcast.
Hi, Megan. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited you're here. I feel like this is a long time coming. Like, we have been connecting. You spoke in the Boss Ladies Babies headquarters. I've been on your podcast, and I'm so excited to have you on this show today to really share what you have to offer with our listeners. It's like perfect timing.
Yes. Thank you for having me. I know it's going to be a good one.
Yes, me too. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and what makes you a boss lady.
Awesome. So I have been trying to lead with the fact that I'm a mom of four kids, because in intros, I've been forgetting that. Like, I just pop into the professional one and then I'm like, oh, by the way, I have four kids. Or I say something later and they're like, wait, you have kids? Like, you just told us you do all this stuff and you have kids too. So I'm going to lead with, I'm Kimberly Tara. Not only am I a CPA and a certified tax coach, but I am a mom to four little kids. So we have three boys and a girl. They are 6, 4, 2.5, and 9 months as of the time of this recording. Yes, life is crazy. Yes, I'm going to do the math for you. They are all 22 months apart. It was not planned that way. We were just kind of shooting for 2 years, and that's roughly how it happened. Life is crazy in the best way possible. We are really glad that we are in like this season where it's a lot, but we know, like, as we see our older kids getting older and the relationships that they have and the things that we're going to get to do, we know it's going to be very much a blessing. My husband is a mechanical engineer, so he works more the corporate grind. We have kind of the perfect balance of, like, you know, his corporate benefits, but my flexibility as a small business owner. And so I think that's everything on the personal side, but I like to make sure that I mention that because I've been omitting it in all of my introductions. So on the professional side, I am a CPA, a certified tax coach, and I am the owner of the Tara CPA firm. And what we do is we partner with female service providers to help them build wealth through proactive tax strategy and business growth advisory. And this is something that I am very, very passionate about. Not only am I the child of two entrepreneurs, but there is just, we do not have enough education for females in general, but especially in the business world. And women are slowly becoming the breadwinners or equal partners when it comes to the finances in their family. And we need to own that and we need to step into that. But we also need to provide the education, because I think for so long, women were left out of the money conversations. We were left out of the economics conversations. Oh, you don't need to know that. This is just the guys are talking, and we need to change the language around that. And so I'm very, very passionate about not only doing the done for you side with my clients, but as we're doing the done for you, answering their questions, educating them, empowering them to know that they have the empowering them and giving them the confidence to say, I can do this and I am capable and I am worthy and I am just as good as any guy out there.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love what you do so much and the way that you do it. And I feel like if you're listening right now and you're like, oh my gosh, this is about finances and taxes. Like, I don't want to hear this. Just listen. Like, we were joking around before we started recording about a disclaimer, like, stick with us, because the way that Kimberly talks about these things is so digestible, and it makes it like, you guys know me, I am not a numbers person. It makes it just so much more comfortable. And everything she's saying about, like, we aren't empowered to deal with this stuff often. It does need to change. And she is a pioneer in making that change. So we have,
oh, thank you.
And I can't wait.
Thank you for that. I try. I really want this. Like, that is what I'm here for, is like to educate you, but in a way that is digestible. I love that word. Like, it is digestible, and we're just going to take it one piece at a time. So let's, you want to dig in, Megan?
Yeah. Well, before we do, we have a segment on the show where I love to ask my guests to rate their mental health on a scale of 1 to 10. I think it's so important that we check in on mental health and kind of, you know, normalize that a little bit more too. So before we dig in, I would love to know, how are you feeling today? Scale of 1 to 10.
You know, I've had a good day today. So if I were to rate today, I would probably say a 7. Even in the midst of tax season with a baby who does not fully sleep through the night, but I have had an amazing week and an incredible day signing a new client who I just, like, we're going to do incredible. I can't wait to work with her. I was on a summit about moving beyond barriers. And we talked about women and finances and being worthy. And so, you know, today my husband's off of work, so he's got the kids and today's a good day. Like maybe I should even give it an 8. You know, even with the entrepreneurial and motherhood roller coaster, it's like you go from a 2 to an 8 to a 1 to a 10. Like, I mean, right? Like it's a roller coaster, but I would say I'm like a 7 or an 8 right now.
Nice. I love that. Yeah. I love it. Awesome. Fun fact, we have babies that are like a few weeks apart in age. So yep. I can definitely relate on the not sleeping thing. But yeah, that's great that you're between a 7 and an 8. I feel like that is, you know, when you're doing as many things as you're doing right now, it could be really easy to get burnt out, especially mm-hmm. during tax season when we're recording this and, you know, doing these summits and being on podcasts. The fact that you're able to do those things while you're in the middle of tax season, and then also hold on to the positive part of it that you get to do these things and you're, yes. you know, you get a high from doing these kinds of things.
I do. So I do.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing. So yes, let's jump in. I first want to know, how did you get into like taxes and CPA and numbers and all of those things? Like, is this something you've always known that you've been really good at, or how did that happen for you?
Yeah. So no, actually. So like I said, I did grow up as the child of two entrepreneurs, you know, who had their own businesses. I actually went to college for chemical engineering, and I was in chemical engineering for 3.5 years, 2 internships before I had, I want to say an emotional breakdown, but it wasn't like actually an emotional breakdown. It was just an emotional breakdown for a person who's a planner and had everything planned out and it was changing. Looking back now, it really wasn't that big of a deal, but it was huge at the time. So I just knew that I didn't want to do engineering, but I didn't know what else to do because I decided as a sophomore in high school who loved chemistry that I was going to be a chemical engineer. So here I am, you know, halfway through my junior year of college, changing the game. And I didn't know what I just knew, okay, I'm not going to do this, but now I don't know what I'm going to do. And I sat in an accounting for non-business major course that I was taking. And I was like, this is what I'm called to do. Within 2 weeks, I changed my major, all the paperwork. My advisor is like, I see you're not registered for any engineering classes next semester. What's going on? And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you. I changed it. I knew her really well. Like, I don't know why I forgot to tell her. So switched to accounting and have literally never looked back. This, like, it is so obviously what I am called to do. And I love the work that I do. I will say, I was so ingrained in the engineering world and I didn't know anything about like the internships with accounting and stuff like that. So I went to like meet the firm's night to apply for an internship. And the first person asked me, so audit or tax? And I was like, nobody told me to be prepared for that question. I was like, audit, because everybody hates tax, right? Like we grow up in a world, in a society where tax is bad. No one would ever want to do that. So I said, audit. And so off I went with my internship in the audit department. And somehow there was like extra work because the audit departments are and tax departments aren't super busy during summer internships. Mm-hmm. And so they needed some help in the litigation support services and forensic valuation services department of the firm that I was at. And I was at a smaller one. I didn't want to go big four because I worked for the largest chemical company in the world. And so I knew that like corporate feel and I wasn't looking for that. So I went with a medium-sized firm and I went and helped them in litigation support and forensic valuation and special, it was like the special matters division. Wow. And through all of that, so I got to do valuation, I got to do litigation support, I got to do all of these things and in a very roundabout way started doing taxes and looking at tax returns and using tax returns as a means of litigation support. And then we would prepare tax returns for our clients after they had gone through the litigation support and we had provided the expert testimony and all of that. And I loved it. So my husband and I got the opportunity to move back from Atlanta to New Orleans. And I was like, you know what? It's time for me to start my own practice. When you work in public accounting, you don't really get to interact at those lower staff levels. You don't get to interact with the clients. And I really love that. That is my favorite part, is getting to know them deeply, getting to know their businesses. And I wanted that. And so that was really the impetus for me starting my own firm. Also watching moms FaceTiming their kids, putting them to bed at night during busy season. I also knew I didn't want that. And you know, that a family was, you know, quickly approaching. I must have been 25 at the time. I didn't know just how quickly our family was approaching because I had already put in my resignation and filed my articles for my business. And I was 10 weeks pregnant at the time and didn't know it. So there was no turning back at this point, but, so you just make things work. And so that was really how I got started. And when I opened my practice, I said yes to everyone. If it was an accounting type job, I took it, I figured it out. I was undercharging. I mean, everything that most people do wrong as they start business, I've done it too. And so that's what I think like uniquely positions me to work with my clients, especially women. Like, I've done it wrong. I've undercharged. I've had imposter syndrome. I've done maternity leave 4 times, right? The first maternity leave was 1 week because my son was born. He was an unexpected pregnancy and he was an unexpected delivery. I've done it all. I've been in your shoes. And so that's kind of what has led me to where I am today. And as I entered, we had our fourth baby, and as I was finishing up 2022, you know, I told my husband, I want to grow. I've given to the family for the last 6.5 years, physically, yes, emotionally, mentally, like I've given to the family, and I want my turn. And of course I want my family to come first, but it also sunk in that I either needed to stay really small to be able to be a present mom, which is my kids and my family are my priority. If somebody told me, you have to pick between the two, obviously, without a doubt, I would pick my kids. Right. But I love my work. I love working. I love what I do. And I don't want to give it up. But the reality is, I thought I was going to get more time back as my kids got older and started going to elementary school. And they were going to go to school from 8 to 3. I was going to have 7 hours a day times 5 hours a week to work. Mm-hmm. And that's not true. Mm-hmm. And I learned...
I'm like, don't tell me that. I'm holding on for kindergarten.
No, don't hold on for kindergarten. If you want to just drop them at school and you don't want to do room mom and fair dance practices and go make the t-shirts, you are going to have 35 uninterrupted hours. I want to be there for the 20-minute dance practice and the making the fair shirts and the this day and the that day and the 100th day of school. Like, I want that. That is a choice for me. And so when you do all of that, and then you're going to have to do all of that times 4 children, I'm like, okay, I'm constantly at school and I'm not actually getting as much time to work as I thought I was going to be getting. Plus we had the baby at the time, right? She was, I don't know, like 4 months old at this point. So I'm like, okay, I either have to stay small so that I can serve my clients how I support them and how I serve, which is very hands-on, or I need to grow enough that I can afford to bring on another practitioner who can help me serve these clients and is of the quality that I require for my clients. And so my husband and I, we had a frank conversation about it. And, you know, what if I'm ramping up in 2023, what that looks like for his job. And he had made some good moves. And so he was like, yeah, I'm okay with just kind of staying status quo and supporting you. And so my word for 2023 is visibility and kind of growth. I use them interchangeably because I also believe in growth as like development, professional development, personal development. And then along the way, over the last couple of months, as I've been meeting more women in actively marketing, right? I grew through referrals before. I never marketed, but I've been actively marketing, and that has brought me the privilege of speaking to more women, more female business owners, whether that's on a consult call. They usually then onboard as a client. And I have gotten the opportunity to hear of their horrific experiences with prior CPAs. And the reality is, not only do we have this lack of education in the financial and tax space for women, but they are getting horrible experiences with their professionals. And that's embarrassing as a fellow CPA. And it's just not acceptable. And so I've learned over the last couple of months that apparently what I consider to be our practice's minimum standards is very much a differentiator compared to other CPAs. And I'm here. It's not about my business growth anymore. It is now about these women who need to know and need to hear that they do not have to settle for those horrible experiences. And something about that shift, I am like over the imposter syndrome, because this isn't about me anymore. This is about this is about the other women. This is about the business owners who need to hear that it doesn't have to be horrible, that they don't have to dread talking to their CPA, that they don't have to wait 3 months for an answer from them. And that has just been incredibly impactful for me and really is helping me get over that imposter syndrome.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you take something that you're already so, so, so passionate about. Like, you can hear it in your voice, how much you love what you do. And then you have this bigger why that makes it even more important. And another thing for you to really latch onto and really put out there to provide value. And it's like, it's amazing. It's so important to you. And you can really, really hear that and see that. And I'm sure you get that reward with everybody that you work with to see, like, I'm so passionate, I'm doing what I love, and I'm solving this giant problem that I know women are facing, and I can fix that. And what you said about, you know, like taxes being bad and everybody feeling like taxes are bad, that we have been conditioned that way, plus the experiences that people have making them even more bad. It's like this giant gap to fill that's setting you apart from what everyone else is doing, which is what it's all about. So I'm just so excited to talk with you about all of this stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh, even just in what you said, I'm like, oh, which things should we touch on? Because there's so much value that you already just gave, and your experience and your journey is just incredible. Let's start with, so by the time that this comes out, tax season will have come and gone, and it's stressful every single year without fail for so many of us who are listening, us being me also. So I said this already, but the timing here is just so perfect because I can imagine it's never too early to set yourself up to make next year a little bit easier. So let's talk about like the planning portion of taxes and how that's different from the actual preparation, which is the thing that we all just got done doing.
Yes. Yeah. So I love to chat about this. So when we hear the word tax or taxes, we go to the preparation, right? I need to fill out a form. What form do I fill out now? I'm a business owner. Do I have a different form to fill out? Okay. Am I going to need to hire someone? Do I use Intuit? Do I go to H&R Block? Please never go to H&R Block. All of these things, like that's what comes to mind. But the reality is that is retroactive. We're in 2023 right now, and we're doing our taxes for all of 2022. The year has come and gone. When we think about tax planning, we think about how can we be proactive? And so I'm actually starting to expand on this even more and add a third level. When we think of planning, we can think about, okay, I think that I'm going to owe $20,000 in taxes this year. I pay 4 quarterly estimates. That's $5,000 each quarter. But if we take it up another notch and talk about tax strategy, I want to talk to you as a business owner about how you are uniquely positioned to use the tax code to lower your taxes and pay less. I don't want you to overpay in taxes. And if you're an individual who only has a W-2, there's really not a lot of opportunity out there. But if you're a business owner, there can be a ton of opportunity out there for you to proactively strategize throughout the year to reduce your tax bill and pay less. And so that's why I'm not as busy as most tax preparers, because we limit the number of clients we take on because we work with them proactively throughout the year. We're doing 2022 tax prep, but we are more importantly talking about 2023 tax strategy and planning proactively for the year ahead to utilize, you know, the full 12 months for our clients that have been with us, you know, from previous years, but even clients coming in now, they are still getting the benefit of 7, 8, 9, 10 months of tax strategy to help make sure that they are not overpaying in taxes for 2023.
Yeah, which is huge because I think, you know, it's something that people just think that's the way it is. Like, I made this much money for my business. These were my expenses. This is what I have to pay. And I will, you know, keep an eye on my finances throughout the year, sit down and do my taxes, hand them over, and that's the way it is. I don't think that people really even realize the opportunity that there is to save money and make it a little bit less of a big, huge burden.
Yeah, no, you're completely right. And that's, I think that's part of my journey is people aren't problem aware. Business owners aren't problem aware. And so they don't know that there's a solution out there for this. And I really loathe for, I'm going to also add the caveat, please don't take tax advice and like financial and legal advice from social media. It's usually not very good. Mm-hmm. It's the clickbait, right? So it's right. It's the highlight reel. Literally, it's the highlight reel. And they don't give you the tactical approach of like, well, sure, you can hire your kids and that's a valid tax strategy. But if you don't do it right and you don't know the implications, you can get yourself into a lot of trouble and you're getting yourself in trouble with the IRS. Mm-hmm. But back to what I loathe, I hate when people just say, oh, just go buy something because then you get a write-off. I love Schitt's Creek. And I never loved Schitt's Creek until somebody, like I don't watch TV. I don't really have a lot of time to watch TV. Yeah. And somebody was like, you know about the scene that they do the write-off? And I'm like, no, I have no idea. But now I just like, I fell in love with Schitt's Creek and I love it. And there's that little like meme going around with David and like, but it's a write-off. It's a write-off. And the reality is, yes, it might be a legitimate business deduction, but if you still have to put the cash out to buy the thing, we still have a cash flow concern. Do we have the cash flow to support that purchase? Because I like to use the example of, you know, if you're going to go buy a new Mac computer, and let's say it's $2,000. I have no idea what they cost. I don't use Macs. I'm a PC girl. But let's say it costs $2,000. Okay, that $2,000, if your business is for 100% business use, you can deduct that $2,000 as an expense. But you're only probably saving about, let's say, maybe $800 max in taxes. Mm. So you still have a net cash outlay of, what is that, $1,200. So if you need the computer, go buy the computer. If you've been thinking about buying a computer, you know, if I've been working with you all year, and you told me back in January or February, I really think I'm going to need a new computer. And then we're looking at your profitability. We're looking at your cash flow. We're looking at your tax liability. It's like, okay, yeah, we could definitely stand to decrease your taxable income. You have the cash flow to support it. And it's a purchase that's been on your eye. Go buy the computer. But please do not just run out and start buying things because you think that they're going to save you on taxes. Because yeah, they might save you on taxes, but they're also going to deplete your cash reserves as well.
Yeah. And I mean, just not doing it for the right reasons. I feel like it could be easy to get carried away too. Like that's a write-off and just like racking it up.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, for many of us who feel like we wait till tax time and then we do the taxes, then you really are going to get yourself in a bad situation. It sounds like. What I think is really cool is that like we really just kind of look at taxes. I feel like a lot of people look at taxes as like, it's just the one time thing that mm-hmm. I do. And I just love how, what you talk about with the tax planning and that you can use the entire year. I just,
yes.
Like I know we've been talking about that a lot already, but I just feel like that, just that alone, like letting people know you can use the entire year to make your taxes work out better for you is so huge and just such like a huge aha moment.
Yes. And I love that you say that because I also think it's the ongoing relationship. And that's why the way, like we only work with clients in an ongoing capacity, because what I learned over the last almost 7 years of being in business is that my clients who were working with me in an ongoing capacity were seeing the best results. We were keeping up with the numbers. We were having ongoing conversations. And I think that that's the other thing that I probably want to touch on today, Megan, is really driving home that you should have a relationship with your CPA. And in order to have a good relationship with that, you need to be comfortable talking to them. You need to trust them. You need to know that they respect you. And you need to know that they're not going to judge you if you feel that you have to ask them a quote unquote dumb question. I say quotations because I don't think that they are dumb questions. We all have to start somewhere. And how we learn is by asking questions. And you should never be made to feel judged or stupid or irresponsible because you're asking a question or you have to admit that you think you made a bad decision. We've all made bad decisions personally, professionally. Like, I'm a money person, and I've made bad investments where I'm like, gosh, I really wish I hadn't given that person my money. Thankfully, it wasn't a lot, but I still wish I wouldn't have done it, right? We've all been there. So there shouldn't be any judgment by your professional, because now you're asking, how could I have done this differently? How could I have done this better? It should be an open, honest conversation and an ongoing relationship that you have with your CPA, your attorney, your financial advisor. Those are relationships that should be, you should just feel really confident in them, and you should really kind of like the person. It's almost like a spouse and your friends, right? Like, you should really like the person, because you kind of should be talking to them fairly frequently throughout the year.
Well, and money can be such a vulnerable thing. And like, yes, we've kind of already touched on how so many women feel uncomfortable talking about money. And, you know, I think it's really easy just to pretend like the numbers don't exist and wing it until we have to, with our business finances and just, mm-hmm, you know, and having the conversations with people. And so I can imagine how important that relationship is. It's not just some old guy sitting at a desk that you drop your stuff off to once a year and you feel stupid because they've made you feel that way. And everything you're conditioned and taking in has also made you feel that way. I think that that's so important to have that relationship. I'm curious, if you're wanting to scale your business and you're looking to really scale your business to six figures and beyond, and you know, this is something that you are doing everything you can to work towards, I think that, I mean, would you agree to say that you've got to get comfortable with your finances? You've got to get comfortable talking about money. Yeah, definitely. So how can we feel empowered as women to step into that confidence and that knowledge and really just kind of accept our financial roles and get comfortable not only talking about it, but seeking out the right relationships and then continuing to be involved with all of our finances throughout the year?
Yeah. So the biggest thing for me is finding the community that you can surround yourself with who's going to have a similar mindset. And that could be, you know, the headquarters like you've created. That could be finding a one-on-one professional, right? So we have a more affordable option for clients who can't work with us in a fully customized package, right? And because we understand that everyone has to start somewhere, but I don't think that cost should prohibit women who might only be approaching the six-figure amount and not quite there yet. I don't think that it should prohibit them from having a quality professional with a good experience with still starting to implement tech strategy. And so if you come into our more affordable package, you are introduced to our other business owners who are in there. So again, that community aspect, because it's such a mindset piece. It is an educating piece, right? Like just teaching you the hard and fast rules, but it's the mindset piece about being around people who are not in a scarcity mindset, who are not undervaluing their services and their worth, right? And who are just hustling. And so if I had to give you one single tip, it's find yourself a community that you can be a part of that is aligned from a money and financial and business perspective.
Oh, I love that. Because then it's like, when you feel like you have the stupid questions, you can ask them in a safe space and realize like, oh my gosh, I'm not the only person who has this question. All of these other women who I view as successful and I see them crushing in their businesses have the same question too. And that just like releases so much pressure, I feel like.
Yes. And can I tell you a secret that I know this because I intimately know people's financial information. I see a lot of things. I pick up on a lot of nuances that other business owners on social media, they're just seeing like, ooh, all the shiny stuff. And I'm like, but wait a minute, I'm doing the math on that. There are quite a few seven-figure business owners who aren't paying themselves well, aren't paying themselves consistently. They are spending almost as much as they're making, right? And so they have a 1% to 2% profit margin and inconsistent paychecks for themselves. Why do that? Like, wouldn't you rather stay at 100, 200,000 and have a 30 to 40% profit margin? Because let's use easy numbers. If you have a 30% profit margin and you are grossing, which means the total amount that you're bringing in is 100,000, that's $30,000, right? If you are making $1 million, but you're only bringing in 1%, that's what, $10,000? Am I doing the math on that right? I'm going to use my trusty calculator over here to make sure I'm telling you right. Yep, $10,000.
Wow.
You have a lot more headaches to make less money. So, one, it's not about the gross. It's not only about your gross revenues, right? We need to talk about your profit margins and your profitability. But we also need to think about, you talked about scaling and growing. What does that really look like? I don't want somebody to say they made seven figures, but they spent $800,000 in Facebook ads to get there. What's the point?
Right.
What's the point? Just think about that as you're going through. And I can tell you there, I've personally had conversations with seven-figure business owners. And even if you're not a seven-figure business owner, let's say you're trying to get to that six-figure mark, I guarantee you they still have some of the same questions that you do.
See, and I feel like that right there is like, deep breath. Because as you're trying to build your business, you're looking at these six figures and seven figure business owners, and you do get that imposter syndrome, and you do feel like, you're not doing something right or uncomfortable. And then that's when it makes it easier to just pretend the numbers don't exist and you just build your business and not really pay attention and miss so many opportunities to scale faster in the right way. And so, when you do scale, you don't end up being the person who only has the 1% profit at $1 million.
Exactly. Yeah. I love that you say that because I think that the whole picture and the whole strategy and taking a very holistic approach is important. And remember, the other thing that I like to tell a lot of my clients is you're really good at what you do, right? Like for example, I'm not very good at the marketing, and I own that is a weakness. It's something that I'm actively working to learn more about and to improve, because I want to make sure that the way that I market is aligned with who I am as a person. But still, I find a way to reach the women that I want to speak to and impact them. So I'm working on that. But remember, whatever it is that your business does, however you serve, whether you're a graphic designer, a VA, a website builder, a coach, whatever that looks like for you, you are incredible at what you do. You would not want to see me try and put a website together, right? You just like you wouldn't want to see my website. I wouldn't have a website if I had to put it together. I wouldn't have one. So remember that you cannot be an expert in everything, nor should you be an expert in everything. Because if we look at the definition of an expert, there's no way that you can be an expert in every part of your business. So the biggest thing that you can do is focus on the things that you are the expert in and think about outsourcing to the people who are experts in what they do, the finances, so that they can educate you and help you and work with you to tackle that piece of the business that no one expects you to be an expert in, but know your limitations and know when it's time to ask for help.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that so much. And I think, just because you aren't going to be the expert in something doesn't mean that it shouldn't be on your radar, so that you know enough about it to understand who is going to be that right person for your unique situation. And I think that is why, back to the community piece, that's so important. When you're surrounding yourself with that right community, you can bounce ideas off of each other. You can talk about, okay, how can I get this on my radar to know enough, like for finances, how can I know enough about my financial picture where I know I'm not going to be the expert in it, but I know what I'm going to need and who's going to be the right person for me to outsource to. And when you have the right people around you in the right community, you can really easily kind of get that done and find that right person. If that makes sense.
Oh my gosh. So, so important. And that's why I think I'm so big on the educating piece, right? Our three pillars are execute, educate, and advise. And it's because I have to execute some things. Like, I'm not going to teach you to prepare a tax return. I'm just going to prepare the tax return for you. Same with the tax strategy, right? But I believe in educating you so that we can have those conversations, just like you said, so that when I ask you a question, you understand enough what I'm asking to say, wait, I don't understand what you're asking, or, oh yes, I know the answer, because I don't want there to be a miscommunication that causes a problem down the road. And you have a lot of that with CPAs and financial people, because they're not speaking in a way that the average business owner can understand and resonate with. And so the educating piece is such a vital component so that we can have really good conversations, because the better conversations we can have, the more that I understand your business, the more that you understand what I can do for you, and the better strategies that I can give you.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And with your analogy of the website designing, it's similar to like, yeah, I don't know anything about how to design a website, but I know what my brand is. I know what colors I like. I know what message I want. You know, you have such a clear idea of what you need to understand in order for the expert to execute that.
Yes.
And I think, you know, if you find an expert who can also teach you, it's just the perfect pairing. So
it is. Yeah.
That is something to definitely be looking for. I know that we have just like talked a lot about things to do, things you should do, things to watch for. We've kind of hit all over the board when it comes to taxes and tax planning. So let's kind of take it back a little and let's leave it with three tips that can make tax time easier for next year that people can start implementing right now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Cause it's never too early. Like I know you're like, Kimberly, Megan, we just got through tax season. Right. Like, why? Like, please, I'm just trying to recover. But I want to give you three tips that are going to make you not feel this way next April. So if you stick with us and you do these three tips, I think you'll realize it's not going to be so bad. So my first tip would be, don't wait until the last minute to do your bookkeeping. And whether that's you doing it right now, or you outsource it, or are looking to outsource it, don't wait until the last minute. At least try to keep up with it monthly. And honestly, Megan, that's not just for the taxes. That is also so that you can make data-driven decisions throughout the year. If something negatively impacted your income or your expenses in February, and you don't know until the next February, man, what if that keeps happening month over month, right? So not only is keeping up with your bookkeeping and your numbers going to make tax time a lot easier, but it's also going to make sure that you are monitoring all of the financial aspects of your business timely throughout the year. So that's going to be my first tip. Nice. My second tip is going to be, you have some sort of system for keeping receipts. And thankfully we live in a pretty digital age. But every now and then you still get a paper receipt too, right? Maybe you took a client to lunch or something like that, and now you have a paper receipt. So have a system that, again, you go into monthly and make sure that everything's bundled, whether that's a folder on your iPhone for taking those pictures, whether that is like I use a Google folder in my Google Drive, and then it's got the year, and then within the year, it's got the month, right? So pick what works for you, but pick a system and actively implement the system. And I would say to even like maybe with these two, set a monthly recurring task in your calendar, project management system, whatever that looks like for you. Even if it's just an hour, within the first 5 to 10 days after the month closes, right? So we're in April. This is coming out in April. So I want you to go set a calendar reminder by May 10th that you are going to spend time going over your numbers for the previous month and going through your receipts for the previous month. So that would be my tip number two. And then my tip number three would be to work on finding a professional right now. Do not wait until January or February or March. Like now is the time. Because yes, we're a little bit busier. And also you have the rest of the year right now. You have 6, 7, 8 more months at your disposal of 2023 to look at that tax strategy. And also I want to add with this tip, interview more than one person. Mm-hmm. I tell people that, you know, people are like, oh, well, why are you telling people to go talk to others? Because I know that I'm really great at what I do. Most people come back to me or wind up working with me anyway. But I also think that, you know, if you find a qualified professional or you find two qualified professionals, and that qualified word is very, very important in there. But if you find two qualified professionals, you need to go with the one who's going to be the best fit for you, your business, your personality. Do you jive? Do you like, because you should work with this person for a long time. Switching CPAs is very costly, right? Like literally and figuratively expensive and can be costly to your business. And so find someone now, Start interviewing now. Start asking your business besties who they use, why do they like them. And if you're in the headquarters or if you join the headquarters, there's actually a presentation in there that I gave to the members in there that I think Megan still shares and gives access to. And I have some questions in there that kind of guide you on how to find the right person for you. So that would be my third tip, Megan, is start now with finding a professional. And I really would encourage, if it's within your budget, you should work with them on an ongoing basis. And I honestly tell a lot of clients, like, you can't afford not to work with us. We usually save you more than you pay us anyway. So why not? Why not have some good, you know, tax strategy, a partner, and some good sound advice and education, because you're probably going to save more than you spend anyway. So.
Yeah. Oh, those are such good tips. I'm like, I need to implement all of those. And May 10th, I'm on it. I'm doing this.
Well, you can do April 10th since we're recording this in March. I'm going to hold you to doing it for April. I'm going to check in with you on April 10th, Megan.
Okay. I'm doing it April 10th. Okay. I will write that down.
All right. I'm holding you to it.
I want to add to your, obviously I have no tips, but in this, but I want to add is something that you have really inspired me to do. And we did touch on this, but to not be so afraid of your finances. I mean, yes. I was definitely one of those people who just is like, okay, well, you know, I see money coming in to my account through my Stripe, and you know, I know I've got this money coming in, but I was so, I guess scared is the right word, to like sit down and go over my finances and look at them. And that's something that you've really inspired me to feel comfortable with, and something that I've since incorporated into my business and got more comfortable doing. And I just think, you know, just get releasing that pressure and giving yourself that permission that it's okay to look at your money. And even if it's not what you want it to look like, you might actually be surprised. And so just letting yourself feel okay to do that, I think yeah. is so important.
I love that. And I'm super proud of you for that. And, you know, you said, even if you look at it and it's not what you want, but if you don't look at it, it's probably never going to be what you want. If you look at it, you can reverse engineer, or you can put plans in place to get it to be what you want. But if you don't look at it, it's probably never going to be what you want. And then the other thing that I think is so great about that, Megan, is it's a trickle-down effect, right? So now you have this comfort level with looking at your numbers. And I'm so honored that I inspired you to have more comfort with that. But by now you having more comfort, you are going to drip that down to your members and the women that you inspire and the women that you interact with. And now that's like a whole nother level of women starting to have more comfort and clarity around finances.
Oh, yes. I love that. Oh my gosh. What a great note to end it on. That is oh, so good. So good. Thank you for sharing everything that you shared today. You are just like a superhero with all your kids and everything you're doing. You are just like such an inspiration, but I can't let you go without putting you on the hot seat for a minute here okay. and sharing your hot mess moment. This is the segment of the show where I invite my guests to share a time where you have felt like a total hot mess.
Okay. Well, there are a lot of those. And you like, you know, that saying, like you have to laugh to keep from crying. Oh, like, yeah. I'm rolling with that. Like I'm so knee deep in kids and poop. And so I actually have two, cause I have one, and the poop comment just made me think of another one. Funny enough. So let's talk about two hot mess moments that have happened within the last week or so. I put bread in the oven to serve with dinner. My parents had like brought it to our house. We were eating leftovers. My parents brought us leftovers. Like one of those, like they either had like credits to use or they got it. So they brought us like this pasta and meatballs and bread. And I was so grateful to them because we're in the middle of tax season. I'm like, this is amazing. So I put the bread in the oven to warm it up a little bit. And thankfully I turned the oven off, but I forgot the bread in there. So the next morning, my husband sends me a picture of the pan on top of the stove. He's like, did you mean to serve this with dinner last night? And I was like, I did, in fact. And I was really bad because it was really good Tuscan bread. No. And I was really mad that we didn't get to eat it. And so I'm just grateful that I turned the oven off,
right?
You know, because it didn't burn to a crisp. So that was one hot mess. The other one is our 2.5-year-old. So our 9-month-old has been having some bad diaper rash. And so my friend gave us, she was like, you have to try triple paste. So I took the triple paste, but with triple paste, you have to use like one of those like bum brushes, you know, like we just use our hands usually, but with the triple paste is so thick, you have to use the brush to scoop it out. And so like, we just wipe it off with a wipe when we're done to get all the stuff off of it. But then we just like, it's got a suction cup. So you suction it onto the top. And so my 2.5-year-old took the suction thing and threw it in her playpen. Oh. And so I looked over there, she's teething and she's gnawing in her mouth on the brush that we use to wipe her butt after pooping and put triple paste on it. And I am still grossed out till this day because it's been less than a week that this happened. And I'm just like, no, like I saw it. And I like ran over there and took it out of her mouth. And it's just, you know, it's just an adventure and a hot mess. And it's, and so I told my husband, I was like, just so you know, if she comes down violently ill, that's why.
You know why? Oh my gosh.
So it's fine. It's fine.
Can't even believe that that happened.
Oh, I can't either. But four kids deep, you know, you're like, I'm not surprised.
Just not even like that it happened, but like, of course it would be that. Like,
yes.
No, of course she would be teething and of course it would be that. I have the same brush that we use and, you know, when
we'll put it up high.
I know that I'm like thinking like every time we change his diaper, he, you know, then I like kind of sit him up and he reaches for it. And I've had just so many flashes of him taking it and putting it in his mouth and imagining what I would do.
Well, there's nothing you can do. And like the thing is thankfully we wipe it off, but those like baby wipes aren't disinfecting wipes, right? So like, I just like, I have no words. Knock on wood, it's been about 3 days, I guess, 2 or 3 days. I haven't seen any violently ill symptoms yet. So
I mean, it's not like the worst for us.
It's not the worst.
It's bad in our mind because we know where it's been, but it's not like it had like active poop on it. Like, you know, you wipe it off and it could have been worse, but
it could have been worse. You know, I have never uttered those words more in my life until I've had 3 and 4 kids, and our third, he is a climber and a jumper and has no fear. And then the poor fourth, like I utter those words a lot. It could have been worse.
The motto to live by as a mom. Oh my gosh. Thank you for sharing that because that is definitely so funny and awful and all of the things that make up the most perfect hot mess and the bread thing that I would be very upset about the bread too.
I was really upset that I didn't get to eat it, but it's fine.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. You are just the best. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. Please tell everybody where they can find you, how they can connect with you, how we can support your business and all of the things that you want to share.
Yeah. So I think I've already given you a link to a free resource that I have. It is 118 tax deductions for service providers. So, you know, it is my gift to you to make sure that you are not overpaying in taxes by missing deductions. I think that this is a very valuable resource, whether you are just starting out and trying to figure out what the heck a business deduction is, up to being a 7-figure business owner who maybe hasn't paid attention to all of the things that are eligible business deductions. So that is my gift to you. You can find me my landing page, as some people like to call it, at Tara CPA Firm on Instagram. I'm not super, super active, but I love to DM with the voice memo on Instagram. So you can find me there too. And that's about it as far as like social and visibility goes.
Amazing. Well, make sure you go check her out, give her a follow. Obviously, she has so much value to share. And like she said, inside the headquarters, there is an amazing training that she shared as well. She's just an amazing woman and an amazing resource and just somebody that you definitely want to know. So give her a follow, check her out. Thank you again for joining.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. And until next time, you've got this, mamas. Stay bossy.
I love this podcast so much, and I am so excited that we are on season 5 of the Boss Ladies and Babies podcast. Some of you have been with me since the beginning. Some of you might be new listeners, but either way, I am so thankful for this space and this community and for you following along on my journey. Also, I'm so thankful that you inspire me every single day just by being here. I love connecting with and supporting other moms who are growing their businesses while raising their babies, and I couldn't do any of this without you. If you like this podcast, please, please, please leave me a quick review over on Apple Podcasts. I know you're a busy mom. I know you've got a lot to do. It won't take much. Just a quick emoji or a couple sentences is all we need to help get more eyes on this podcast, to connect with and inspire even more women, to grow our community together. I would be so thankful. Head on over to Apple Podcasts, leave that quick review, and let's keep this show growing. Thank you for listening to Boss Ladies and Babies. If you like this episode, be sure to rate, review, and leave us some feedback. Make sure you follow us on social at Boss Ladies and Babies. Join the conversation in our private Facebook group and check out everything we have to offer like community, coaching, merch, and more at bossladiesandbabies.com. And until next time, stay bossy.